Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grayscale Gorilla podcast. It is Nick Campbell here from Grayscale Gorilla. Joining me is Chad Ashley from Grayscale Gorilla.
Hey, everybody.
And Chris Schmidt from Grayscale Gorilla.
Hello, hello.
I could say Grayscale Gorilla one more time if you guys want.
GrayscaleGorilla.com.
Just in case people don't know what they just clicked on. But we're here again on a Monday saying hi to you guys, trying to catch up with what the heck's been going on, not only with Grayscale Gorilla, but also with Cinema 4D, motion design, and the community in general. So what's what the heck's been going on, guys? How was your week?
Great.
The week was good.
It was good.
The weekend was fast. Weather is beautiful. I've got all my lawn furniture inside now because I'm staining my deck.
Well, I was wondering what that chair was doing back there. It almost looks like a weird throne of some sort.
Yeah, it's on top of a whole stack of chairs.
Okay. It's officially fall in the Midwest here, where we all are, and it happened very quickly.
Is it officially fall?
Yep.
Yeah, I think maybe yesterday,
the last
2 days
of summer
ago.
Happened, right?
Well, I'm afraid so, buddy.
That
afraid
sucks.
So. Time to stay in and get some rendering done. I kind of like weather. I tend to get more work done when the weather's kind of crappy.
Oh yeah, you know? I love crappy weather. Like if it's raining and pouring and whatnot, I'm like, awesome. I wasn't going to go outside, but now I have a good excuse to not go outside.
Yeah, see, that's why it's a guilt-free, stay in your office kind of weather.
Yeah, my behavior doesn't change. I still stay inside and work too much, but you're right. It's just more mentally freeing. It's like, oh, I couldn't go outside anyway.
I mean, I would be biking right now, but.
It still counts. It's as if you did it.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You would have done it.
Yep. That's well. Yeah. Is that same for you, Chad? You like? What's your favorite work day?
I kind of like it if it's, whatever. I like it when the sun is out. But if it's raining, it's kind of nice too because then you don't get that guilt of like, oh, I probably should have rode my bike today. But today it's sunny here, so I'm happy about that. It's cool, so I'll be able to take the dog out for a walk and not sweat my butt off, so that'll be good.
This only happens to me maybe once or twice a year, but there's a special combination of being really into a project and waking up way too early and not being able to fall back asleep that combines into what I feel is like my most productive day of the year, where it's 4 o'clock, you feel like you got a little bit of sleep, but you're like, well, I'll just fall back asleep, and then an hour goes by, or I'll try listening to a podcast, try to go to bed. And all of a sudden, I'm like, by 4:30, 5 o'clock, I'm like, you know what? Forget this. I'm waking up. I'm starting to think about this project I'm really into, and then I'm like, I feel like I'm the first one awake in America, you know? Like,
I think you might be at that point.
I just have this really fun feeling of like I'm getting all this work done while everyone else is sleepy.
See, that's insanity, man. Like for me, I'll have that moment too, where you're thinking about something, you wake up and I just go back to sleep though.
I wish I could. But sometimes I get into this project or it's like a thought of sometimes you solve a problem laying there. You're just like,
true.
"Oh, that's how I approach this problem." And then you want to jump at it and start to go.
I think if I crawl out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and went into my office, my wife would probably freak out and be like, "What's happening? Is everything okay?" Like she'll probably think something's wrong. I should try that sometime.
On the weekend, I just have my laptop up against the side of my bed, and when I wake up, I can just pick the laptop up, and if I want to do some work or something, I'm just laying in bed doing the laptop or just surfing the web or whatever.
There you go.
I don't get on my bed for like 2 hours on the weekend. It's just like until my battery dies, I'm not getting up.
Nice. That's your alarm clock when your battery dies.
Yep.
Makes you get up. You have a bedpan sitting by just in case.
Never getting up again. Well, we got some news coming out this week. We this morning that they talked about cycles and announced and showed some more stuff about that.
I don't think it was announced. It's just kind of making its way around right now. I think Mike Batchelor posted it to Vimeo last week or something, him kind of working through cycles in Cinema 4D, which is a plug-in.
Can you describe what that is?
Yeah, okay, I have no idea what this is.
So Insidium, the makers of X Particles, are writing a plug-in to port the Blender render engine, which is called Cycles, into Cinema 4D. and it has a bunch of really cool little hooks into X particles, which is kind of cool. So if you Google it, and or if you just go on Vimeo and search Mike Batchelor at Insidium, or maybe just Insidium, you'll be able to see him kind of running through some of the more general features and then how it integrates with XP and all that sort of thing. So Blender, if you don't know what Blender is kind of a I don't know if open source is the right word for it, but it is a community-based 3D software that is maintained and updated by the Blender committee or community of developers. So it's a free 3D program, essentially, that gets updated constantly by the community and maintained by the community. And it has a pretty decent render engine in it called Cycles, and now Insidium is making a plugin that will allow you to use it in Cinema.
So what's their advantage? Is it that it's tied in really tight with X particles and it's trying to render X particle stuff a lot faster than if you used physical or something like that?
Yes.
Is that kind of the idea?
Yes, kind of the idea is that I think that they are just looking for ways to get a lot of their different particle data into different renders. They've already got a pretty robust integration going with Arnold, and now by kind of owning the pipeline, essentially they created the port to this renderer, so they'll be able to make it as deep as and integrated as they want. So
I actually have a question about the Arnold thing too. Just to step away from Cycles for a second, but I just realized that you could tag things as an as particle data basically in Arnold.
Yeah.
And then Arnold will, is it build the geometry? Do I have that right? Like, you can basically put up the particles, which take almost no time to calculate and do all these millions of particles, but then at render time, let Arnold and the renderer build out the geometry?
Exactly. In fact, that's, you know Trevor Kerr, right? You met him, and he did that crazy demo at SIGGRAPH with, like, the kajillion trees and all that.
Yeah.
That's exactly how he did it. So essentially, you know, you've got X particles that can generate millions of particles on a surface, little green dots basically. And then at render time, they're swapped with an Arnold asset file, or ass file as they are known. The dot ass file. And so, yes. And then there's other things too. Like, there's some really cool integration that X Particles has given the Arnold and now Cycles, which is allows you to look at age data and different, you know, changing the way that trails look and all that sort of thing. So really cool stuff that they're doing so that people can access those little channels of particle data in their renderer.
Very cool. So do they have a date or anything for the Cycles stuff, or they're just starting to roll it out and let people know about it?
I'm on a few betas, so I can't remember if this one is in alpha or it's in beta, but I think you could contact them directly and maybe ask them, you know, if you want to get on the beta or when it might be released. I don't know, so I don't want to say anything that's going to get me in trouble, so I'll just say I don't know.
Yet another renderer to keep track
more
of.
More renderers. Oh, there's more than that. I mean, like, they're coming out every day. So I'm pretty sure that my neighbor has one coming out.
Your dog.
Yeah, my dog's got a renderer coming out. It's going to be awesome.
What would ours be called? It would just do shiny spheres, maybe? That's all it did?
Oh, yeah, I was just having this conversation with... who was I talking to? Maybe it was Trevor, actually. We were saying that the world has graduated. The Cinema 4D world has gone from shiny spheres to subsurface spheres. Like, that's really where it's gone. Like,
it took 10 years.
Honestly, like, it was shiny spheres all day, every day. And then Octane came out, and people were like, oh, my God, subsurface. And now it's like every surface, every sphere just is like subsurface. So it's the age of subsurface. We're past the shiny sphere. It's all about the subsurface sphere now.
Shiny sphere. So I don't want to always feel like I'm defending the shiny sphere, but I feel like it's my duty at this point.
Well, there's something. I mean, there's a natural reason why people like spheres.
Oh my god! Well, oh my god! I gotta grab a thing on this topic.
Okay, grab
a thing.
Go grab it.
So to me, shiny spheres are like the AC/DC of Cinema 4D. Like, if you pick up a guitar, you can learn two or three chords, and you could play AC/DC songs, almost every AC/DC song, with two or three chords, basically. And you feel like you're a rock star. In fact, you don't even need to learn the chords. You just need a tennis racket and an AC/DC song, and you could be a rock star for just a minute. Follow through with this analogy for a second.
I'm trying, man. I'm just thinking of Thunderstruck, and I'm like, I don't know how I can play that.
Okay, that's a little bit more advanced, but you know, I'm thinking Highway to Hell era. So Okay. Picture that, right? So now you pick up Cinema 4D, you pick up motion design. There's a million things you got to go learn. You got to learn how to, like, potentially how to model, how to do typography, how to texture all this stuff, how to animate all these things. And there's this really nice, cool little trick that allows you to kind of skip all the really difficult stuff for now. And just to start to get results, and that is the shiny sphere. So people learning, Chris has a giant.
Is that the Maxon one, Chris?
No, this is the first Kickstarter that I think I've ever gotten the product for.
Oh, wow.
What is that?
Two solid orbs of copper.
What? One shiny, one is a little matte.
Okay, and so they even come with these little. If I touch it, it will start tarnishing, and it'll do like the Pantene thing or whatever it's called. So you have to be really careful about touching it and shining it. But like, I got a perfect chrome shiny.
Why did you buy that?
Beautiful.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, what was their pitch on this Kickstarter?
It was, do you want a sphere of copper? Because we're gonna make them.
That was it.
That's so random. I saw it as an ad. I was like, oh my god, I need that right now.
I've been looking for a good solid copper sphere.
Dude, I actually had in the past gone onto like eBay and tried to find copper spheres. And
so this was like, this was made, they searched the Google of what people were searching for, and they're like, there's a certain group of people that are just searching for copper spheres and they're not finding it. I got an idea. Let's kickstart it.
Let's make one. That's hilarious. No,
the next thing I want though would be tungsten, because tungsten is like this incredibly heavy metal, and it's so expensive though. But
see, all right,
isn't that
I got
what
a
the
new
robot in The Simpsons 8. There was a robot on The Simpsons that was like eats tungsten, and I think he was. You know what? No, are you guys Simpsons fans? No.
Up to season 10, I feel like I watched them all, and then
there's an episode where they go to like an IKEA, and it's an IKEA ripoff, like, you know, Simpsonized IKEA, and there's a, you know, the IKEA always has the Allen wrench, like every single one comes with Allen wrench. Well, at the IKEA store, there's a guy dressed up like an Allen wrench, and the kids start talking to him, and he confesses that he's actually from another planet, that he actually is this Allen wrench creature. And he needs tungsten to live, and then nobody's feeding him. So, anyway.
That's great.
How do you fit into that costume?
I have a pro life tip. When you get those little Allen wrenches and whatnot, and it's a piece of furniture, I tape it to the underside of the piece of furniture. So later, when I have to fix it or dismantle it, it's taped underneath it.
Oh, that's good.
That's smart.
I always end up keeping those, but now I have a pile of almost the same size Allen wrench. Yep.
And you don't know which one goes to which.
Yeah, and they're
taped
all
underneath the table. You
somewhat different. All right. I like this.
That's a good tip, dude. I definitely, if we come away with nothing from this podcast, it will be that. I'll go further, though. Did you see my, I don't know if I posted it, but I use Velcro a lot now. Like, Velcro is my new duct tape.
Oh, nice.
And I go to the store and I get like the industrial Velcro, and I Velcro all my external drives to the underside of my desk.
Oh,
wow.
So that's nice.
Like, so that I keep them, you know, right. No external drives on my desk. They're all just mounted through Velcro under my desk. And
that's pretty awesome, actually. I just ordered a new drive.
There you go. We just traded some life tips.
That's great. Yeah,
we
should do this. Every week we should have one pro tip.
There you go.
So I started using a standing desk again, for those of you who've read articles from me years ago. But in the last few months, I got the standing desk here, and it's great. But it's also adjustable, like mechanically, which is also really cool. But what it really means is that anything that is either on the desk or next to the desk or attached to it has to be kind of like cable. Like the cables need to be loose enough to be able to move around. So if you imagine like the whole computer and everything, the plug from the computer, basically all the power systems
slack
need some slack. So there's like little pieces of Velcro, and there's you know, a big power brick up here, and all the little widgets that go between it all. And basically, what it also means is the desk fills up fast because it's just easier to put it on the desk than on the floor or anywhere else. So I might get some industrial Velcro. That might be the secret, right?
You know, it's funny. Like I actually, so I got that stuff and I mounted it. I'm like, oh, this is great. What else can I use Velcro for? And I started thinking of things. And so I bought a mic stand for the shotgun mic that I bought for the YouTube stuff. And the shotgun mic was actually, it's mounted, it's like a hot shoe mount for your camera. So there's no mic mount for it. So I just literally took some Velcro and like put it on both sides. And I'm just like stuck them together and worked perfectly.
I gotta get there.
Trying to just think of things to put Velcro on.
You could spend the whole day doing that. Anyway.
Well, what else been going on? Oh, there has been. Well, let's talk about Grayscale Gorilla news. We got some things coming up. Mm. For those of you listening this week to this episode, we have a new animation fundamentals class coming up from David Brodeur, and this has been fun. This has been something we've been kind of talking a lot about behind the scenes, but this will be one of the first ones that'll be a little bit more public. We wanted to kind of make sure we had something, you know, that really worked behind the scenes before we made it more public. But basically, if you're looking at moving away from keyframes or moving away from, you know, using dynamics to keyframe like I do, and to actually use keyframes, check out Animation Fundamentals with David. I won't spend too much time here talking about it just because I want to keep our conversation going. But we do have that loading up. So if you wanted to learn some keyframes, finally, some squash and stretch from somebody that does it for real, David's class is opening up this week, or maybe early next week. I think it'll be the end of this week. And what day is it today? 26th, if you're listening. Yeah. So check that out. I'll put a link in the show notes, and actually all the links to all the show notes that we mentioned will be at grayscalegorilla.com. You can go to the blog and find the latest podcast. And while I'm talking about it, you can also subscribe on iTunes, where the notes will be there as well. We also released the video of this in case you just can't get enough of our handsome faces right here. Yes. Thumbs up.
Yes.
We release these on YouTube as well. So, head on over to YouTube and hang out with us, and the notes will be in the YouTube description. What am I missing?
We just decided. Well, I guess I just decided that I'm going to be bringing back the Grayscale Gorilla SGSG on October 12th.
Oh, awesome!
You heard it here first,
October 12th. We're back, and I think we're going to have a prize to give away for the first show.
So. Oh, awesome!
Nice.
So yeah, we have. If you don't know about AskGSG, we fired up the live stream. It actually was originally on Ustream, I think. Fired up the live show and started answering your Cinema 4D questions live. You know, we get a lot of questions in our YouTube comments and email and all this stuff of like, hey, how do you make this effect? Or hey, I'm stuck here. And we're so overwhelmed with these questions. It's really hard to reach out and help each and every one of you. So we decided to make an actual show that is specifically about answering your questions. So if you're around, they're Monday or Wednesdays, right, Chris?
Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Central time.
1 p.m. Central. If you're
for
around
2 hours, all we do is answer questions and mostly play with Cinema 4D.
Yep. So if you have a question about how something is made or getting stuck or just want to see somebody explore some of these tools, maybe even some of the new parts of R18, bring your questions on Wednesdays starting on October 12th, is it?
Yep, October 12th.
And we will be doing those shows. Now, sometimes we get some special guests in there. I think Chad was in last season.
I was.
Well, you were there early on, Nick.
I was in last season as well. I'm going to try to sneak into this season a couple times.
Some celebrity guests maybe this year, Chris?
Maybe. It depends if they want to hang out in my bedroom this time. That was a little easier back when we were in a shared office
space. If they can sit in that throne behind you, then...
Yeah, they get the outdoor furniture. Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, so it's a really fun show. We do it live on Twitch, and I'll actually put a link to that as well, Twitch channel. And you can subscribe to us on Twitch, or what do they call it? Follow, or I don't know. Like us. And then that way you'll just get a notice when we go live and bring your questions. It's really one of the places where we take time to answer your questions. So bring them. Chris is ready.
Bring it.
Listen, I was lucky enough for years to be able to ask Chris questions directly. And so if take advantage of this.
It's really fun. I got to meet a bunch of people at Half-Res that followed the show. It's like, oh, that's cool. There's real people out there watching the show, getting something from it.
Awesome.
Every time I hear the name of the show, I always want to say, Ask G.S. Jeeves.
Ask G.S. Jeeves. Hmm. We could change it for you if you
want.
Do
you remember that website?
Jeeves, I know. I remember Ask Jeeves.
Remember Ask Jeeves, the search engine?
Yeah.
The search when everybody...
Ask Jeeves.
Like, I just picture like there's a fancy guy named Jeeves who's answering Grayskill questions.
Do you want to wear a bow tie, like a butler's outfit, Chris?
I might need a costume. I got to start wearing my lab coat. Oh, but it disappeared. I have to order a new lab
that
coat.
That would be fantastic.
I
like it.
That's a
Get
company
the goggles.
For sure. I need new goggles. I'm so sad those got lost. I had the same goggles that Doc wears in the first Back to the Future, and they disappeared.
What? Really?
I loaned them out to somebody, and then they swear they returned it, but I don't have them.
Uh-oh.
That's not good.
Maybe they gave them to a different Chris.
Maybe.
You're your doppelganger.
Mm.
And he's just got all the cool costume stuff now.
Yep.
What else we got going on? Oh, Chris, you had a cool idea.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to do it while we were doing company news. But I really want to find out. I want to find more awesome YouTube channels because I don't have TV anymore. I haven't had TV in years. But every weekend, I go onto YouTube and I catch up on all my subscriptions of all the cool, different, fun things I follow. So I wanted us to share a whole bunch. And I went and I pulled up a whole bunch of mine. Actually, I'm subscribed to like 150 people or something. But I only pulled up like eight of some of my favorites. But I wanna go around and get some of your guys' favorites. But I'm gonna start because this was my idea. I guess I'll share my screen.
All right, I'm gonna open up YouTube while you're talking about them, so I can see whether or not I want to subscribe to them.
Yeah. So here's the ones I popped open. So I'll do two quick ones. I guess these are in alphabetical order. The first one is Boston Dynamics, and that's just because I love robots, and these guys make the best robots. So you've probably seen a GIF or a video or something with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
They make all the crazy robots. They made Big Dog and the little flea one that jumps and Pet Man and Atlas and like so many awesome robots. So if you like state-of-the-art, like futuristic, terrifying robots, these guys are the ones to do it. So Boston Dynamics, I'll put a link.
Yeah, those are the guys that made the ones that they like push the robot around, right?
Yes, they're the ones always beating up the robots.
Yeah, every time I see those, like, I actually feel bad for the robot.
Yeah, it's built in for us to feel bad, but this is what they're built for. And I'm going to throw one more in because I've got a whole list here.
Okay.
Another one I like is Captain Disillusion. They're a little cheesy, a little hokey, but he goes and he gets mostly YouTube videos that are claiming to be real and then debunks them. And he's like an After Effects guy, and he's always doing all these special effects in his videos, and he's got this whole personality. But it's all about like skepticism and not falling for things, and then he always does some cool graphics as well within, he'll like recreate the effect.
Yeah, doesn't he talk about a lot of faked VFX kind of things and then show you how to do it in After Effects sometimes?
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen this. This is great. He's like, that's so easily faked, that basketball going into the hoop. And then he'll show you, like, look, you just do this.
He'll make it himself. Yeah, right? it's hokey and cheesy, but he's really good. I like him. I like him a lot. So let's see if one of you guys has one.
No, keep going, man. I want to hear more.
Yeah, I've got more. Well, okay, here's an obvious one.
Give us like five.
Well, everybody's going to know this one. Probably. It has to be in your list if you're going to follow the stuff. And that's CGP Gray, which is really hard to say fast. But he does the most amazing little explainer videos. If you're ever on Reddit or something, he makes it to the front page every time. But he does such some amazing little videos about like the border between Canada and the United States. And it's like a 10-minute video. And it's just fascinating. I don't know. Can't recommend this guy enough. We'll put that.
Yeah, his traffic one was really good recently.
Yeah, the new traffic one was really great. Let's see. This is one's just purely for fun and funny, but casually explained. He comes out with a new video every week or two, and he just casually explains things. He's got this quirky little animation, and I'm not going to play it, but there's one
quirky's one word for it.
Quirky's great. But he's got there's two videos, and I think they're like the funniest things I ever watched, which is Casually Explained Evolution Part 1 and a Part 2. And I don't even want to spoil it. They're just okay. Adorable and amazing.
I'll have to watch that one.
I'll do this one real quick because everybody, I think a lot of people follow this. Every Frame of Painting, like really great breakdowns of different like movie concepts and just, I don't know, just brilliant breakdowns on composition and lighting and emotion and music and everything that makes a movie great. Really good. But then one I'd love to recommend here, and I love this guy for one very specific reason. It's called Geeky Glasses TV, and he's really small right now. He doesn't have that many people, but he does a series where he recommends things that he thinks are kind of obscure or that people might dismiss because they wouldn't like it. And he's recommend, essentially, I trust him now. Like, I like his taste in things. So he's every time he recommends something, it's like, okay, I will probably like that. I think it's called, yeah, it's the series Why It's Awesome. And he does stuff like, you know, he just did Gravity Falls and Steven Universe, BoJack Horseman. It's a lot of TV shows and movies. But he got me watching One Punch Man, which is great. He recommend there's just so many really great goofy. But then he recently recommended like Japanese wrestling, and that's like a perfected art of fake wrestling, which is really good. I can do a part two here, but somebody else jump in now.
I'll go. So I'll go off of the silly. Brave Wilderness. I check this guy out. This guy Coyote, I forget his last name.
Are you gonna share your screen?
Do you want me to? I could do that.
No, okay, just checking.
No, I wasn't gonna share my screen. I was just gonna. Okay, that's cool. Just because I got other stuff up. But this guy basically just goes around and gets bitten by things and then films it. So like he puts his hand in a pile of fire ants, or he gets bit by a crocodile, and they just film it, and he kind of rates the pain on a pain index.
Oh, geez.
Which is really kind of funny and frightening. So you can see him like get bit by, you know, this crazy amount of stuff. But he's also got some like really cute, like nature-y kind of like fun, family friendly kind of stuff. But I just really like the parts where he gets bit by weird things. The other one is one that I just discovered, and it's called Merkel Vilson. Merk Vilson, MERKVILSON, and it's somebody who has decided to create Cinema 4D tips and like play them with a robot voice, and they are the most like helpful tips. They're like quick tips, you know, like people do, but they're all like really good, and they're done with this like robot voice that is just, it's fascinating to listen to and watch, and you'll learn something about Cinema 4D, I guarantee it. So check that out, Merk Vilson. That's a good one. That's cool. Tested is another one that I like. Which
I have that on my list. I can knock it off.
Yeah, that's a good one. So it's like Adam Savage's little YouTube channel there. Lots of random, cool, weird stuff.
So good. I love
Vox, V-O-X is another good one, which is kind of like, you know, they explain things in a interesting way, like different topics and whatnot. Let's see.
Wait, explain what kind of things?
Well, for instance, they have a video, let's see, which is the one that I watched, How Mona Lisa Became So Overrated, Proof of Evolution That You Can Find on Your Body, which was interesting. So that was one of my favorite ones, where apparently... you can, if you make this gesture, and you'll have to be watching the video of this on YouTube to really see what I'm doing, but if you take your pinky and your thumb and you lay it flat on a table and you like curl it up like this, if you see a tendon like pull out of your arm, then you still have a basically a muscle that is not being utilized that traces all the way back to when you were a monkey, basically.
Sweet.
So yeah, it's things like that. Yeah, it's pretty wild. And
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, I know, right? To see if you have it. I don't have it. So I'm evolved, basically. I'm better than
whoa,
all
what
of
if
you.
I have
then
it?
Then I'm better is than this, you, I guess.
Does this I'm mean
saying.
I'm the gorilla again?
Yeah, you really are. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Then you are, dude. You still have that in you.
Whoa.
So let's see, moving down my list. I've got
there it is.
Yep, you totally have it, bro. That means that you've got some old DNA hanging around.
Wow. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'll take it.
Hey, man.
Well, Chad's still got the DNA. It's just turned off.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't have
We all have a lot of junk DNA.
That's true.
Can you reactivate it at any moment?
Yeah, pretty much. Sure. Yeah, well, I think, Nick, the one you're going to recommend, a couple of his videos have been all about like being able to manipulate DNA.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's see. Then I follow like a lot of like weird ones. Like there's this I follow Braille. Skateboarding.com, where they have a series of called You Make It, We Skate It, which people will send them skateboards that they make out of like the most bizarre materials, and they have to try to skate on them. So like one time somebody made them a skateboard out of pure glass.
What?
And they tried to skate on it, and of course it shattered, but it's fun to watch.
I see one made out of Legos.
Yeah, there's one made out of Legos. There's like, and they have them all the time. And some of them are kind of like whatever, they just break right away. But some of them are actually kind of funny. And then I just follow like
I knew the most popular one was going to be the glass one.
Yeah,
and it was.
it is pretty. I just wanted it to hang it in my office. I would, or make a table out of it. I wouldn't have broke it. But anyway, and then a bunch of random Android. Because I'm an Android guy, I follow like three or four different Android, like Android Authority, and then Droid Life and other things like that. But those are mine.
Cool. I got a few here. The first one is the one I can't say the name. Chris, you had a better one. The series is called In a Nutshell.
Yes.
But what's the name? How do you pronounce that? Kurzgett? It's K-U-R-Z.
I don't even know what language that is.
J or G-E-S-A-G-T. Mm-hmm. So we'll have all this in the notes as well. But what I like about their videos is not only do they dive really deep into kind of some scientific and kind of psychological topics, but their animation is awesome. Like whoever's doing their motion design and like it's just got such a style to it.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, that one's great. Yeah, if anybody knows who's doing those, hit us up in the YouTube comments. Let us know, because they're really, really good animation. The one, the addiction one, I'm looking at Chris's screen here. The addiction one was really good.
I love this evolution stuff.
Yeah, the designer baby DNA sequencing one was really interesting. But check out the style of their animation. It'll be a little hard here just because it's a little choppy, but go make sure you head to their site. Really beautiful stuff.
That's cool.
So I've been looking at theirs a lot. Similar to that in kind of tone, but a little bit more maybe nerdier, I guess, is this site called Nerdwriter.
Oh, you guys are just knocking out all the ones I have here. That's great.
Oh, good. There you go. See, this is part two. Nerdwriter, Chris has it pulled up. The way that I see Nerdwriter is he pulls up some of his favorite things that he just likes in the world, and he dives so deep into it. So like the beginning scene of Save It Private Ryan, and he talks about like how they shot it and why he loves it and why it's so important. And he'll just break down these topics deeper than you would think anybody. So he goes into the Truman Show was really great. Like, what does the Truman Show mean to us in an election year, and how we like kind of carry ourselves as society? He even does like music stuff, and I'm always into some like studio stuff. So he did his favorite Steely Dan song and breaks it down, like why he loves it, and between the lyrics and the composition and even the instrumentation and all that stuff. So there's Star Wars stuff in here. Is Ren and Stimpy, like why Ren and Stimpy was even on the air to begin with. Like why in the heck did they call it a kid's show? It's just really, really well done.
Video essays, they're great.
Yeah, really, really. You could tell like, and I think he even has like a Patreon page and stuff, and it's just this one guy doing these things. So check him out, support him if you can. The next one, probably everyone watches Casey Neistat, but I just cannot get enough of Casey's like daily videos. Have you guys seen this guy?
Oh, geez, no. He's so popular. Like I've only watched a couple random.
Oh yeah, he pops up in my feeds all the time.
Yeah, he pops in everyone's feeds because basically the whole world's watching this guy. It's 2 million views per episode of this stuff.
He just kind of basically looks like a jerk. Is he an all right? Is it all right though?
So
I think he grows on you.
He's actually awesome. I really enjoyed just not really my favorite thing about him is that he actually films and edits a video per day that is better than anything that I can make in an entire year. So he shoots with drones and his own selfie cams and his family and what he does for a living and all this stuff. And he makes these really intriguing 10-minute videos. And to me, sometimes it's like I don't, you know, necessarily need to know what's going on in his life. But for me, it's the behind the scenes. It's really knowing that it's him filming it all that makes it so fun. So he'll do things like, for instance, like he'll... One of the shots will be him walking into work, closing the door, locking it, and walking up to his desk and going like, "Hey guys," right? But then you have to realize that he had to come into his office, set up the camera, turn on record, walk out of his office, and come back in and film the whole thing just to get that shot. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have a film crew; he's just shooting it all by himself. So for me, it's just some of the fun of like seeing the behind the scenes of all this stuff.
What does he do? Like, what's his thing?
Yeah, he basically shoots YouTube videos in New York, as far as I'm concerned. Like, he runs a startup. He made an iPhone app that I think did okay, whatever, you know, kind of a startup thing. But he's basically a filmmaker. He worked in production making films forever and still does, but basically does it on YouTube now for, look at that, 3 million people per video. So
okay, so he just travels around and, like, talks about stuff?
Yeah, you really have to just like start to watch it to see what the heck it is, and you'll either like it or not. But I think it's intriguing because sometimes working by myself, I feel a little disconnected from like all the things that are happening in the world, and I feel like he's my daily thing of going like, "Oh, okay, this is a popular thing." You know, I feel like this is going down a tangent, but the fact that we could all watch any show we want, like Chris said, instead of all watching the same TV show like we used to when we were younger, makes it a little bit disconnected when you go out into the world. There's, other than the weather, there's really no shared kind of thing to talk about. Especially, I don't sports. Talk, you know. Yeah, and I don't watch a lot of sports either. So for me, it's kind of like sports. When the nephews or nieces talk about Casey Neistat, it's kind of nice to have like something to talk about. So I don't know. We're getting a little far into why I watch this guy every day, but I enjoy him and his work ethic more than anything.
Cool.
Most important one on the list. I want everybody to go write this down. This Jen's Marble Races.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing. I don't know what it is, and I already want to subscribe.
Chris, can you go find Jen's Marble Races on your screen? Because I want to make sure I'm spelling it right, because this needs to be on everyone's list.
What is it?
Jen's? I think it's J-E-N-N-S, Marble Races. Is that correct?
Jell's Marble Runs.
Jell's?
Oh, that might be it. I made this list as you guys were talking, so... and I can't use my computer right now because I'm recording the screen and the audio. All right.
I don't know how you pronounce it. Is that Jell?
That's right.
It
so it's J-E-L-L-E apostrophe S Marble Runs. And what they do is they'll put like 10 or 20 colored marbles, like different colors, on a little track. And then they'll say, choose your color. So, like, right now, we're watching one, and we could all choose one. So, let's pick a color, guys. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Back it up.
This is ridiculous.
I'm
just going to say what everybody is thinking right now. Shiny balls.
It's shiny spheres, for sure.
I have seen one of these, but I didn't know it was a channel.
They're super compelling because, literally, it's almost like Chris's, like, your cue braces in a way.
Yeah, the cue braces.
Like, you just pick a color, and then they do a run, and sometimes there's announcers. So they're like, white pulls ahead, and here comes blue, here comes cascade green down the side, right? And they literally film these marbles going through the sand or going through, you know, mechanical wooden things. And I honestly, I don't know, like... I could just watch stuff like this all day. It's very satisfying.
So yeah, there's a whole category of like satisfying like videos. Have you ever, you know about that stuff?
Oh yeah.
Like little machines, mechanical machines,
like you, like,
separating
look at
stuff.
And you're like, it's
the
like,
manufacturer of a crayon.
Yeah, exactly. Where
like
you
that.
See, you know, that stuff happening and you're like, it just soothes you or, you know, whatever. Wow, this is pretty elaborate, dude.
It's really big, and the channel just keeps going. They have races. They'll have, you know, wooden ones. They'll have sand ones. They'll have 50 at a time. They do circuit races. So they'll do circuits and go, like, 5 at a time and then pick the winner from each one and do an ultimate one.
Okay.
It's really ridiculous, and it's so fun. But it basically, Like, if you were to describe what I could stare at forever in like a term, see? He sneaks on the other side. If you could describe like what I would love to just watch all day, it is Rube Goldberg machines. Like, you go to the science museum and they always have like the little marble machines, mm-hmm. and like the infinite marble machines. I remember like they used to have the penguins that walked up the stairs and then they would slide down the little slide and go up the stairs. It's a little kid's toy. I just stare at that all day. I'm good. I'm happy with that.
Was your favorite game growing up Mousetrap?
I loved Mousetrap, but even better than Mousetrap was a game called Marble Works.
I remember that one, yeah.
Little plastic pieces you could put together and build these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And there was a start and an end, and then you would put, same thing, you put colored marbles in. That was like my favorite toy by far. Look at that. It goes through a spiral. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You won't learn a ton about motion design with my picks, but
well, mine either.
Total
really.
Time sink.
I don't think I had one like about it, and the rest were people getting bitten by spiders.
But for me, it's just the fact that YouTube exists and that there these channels we get to pick now that we could just watch whatever channel we want is just so mind blowing to me.
2 million people have watched this. Like, this could never air on television, but here it is, and it's amazing.
Here it is. Feel like, 2 million people.
Yeah, I mean, like. Look at this, dude. 35,000 views on this one that I just watched. That's insane.
Yeah,
they need more subscribers, though. They're really close to 10,000.
So that leads me to my last one, which is I've been, and the site has been getting into YouTube a lot more. You may be noticing our videos, our tutorials are moving over to YouTube. And it's really due to, basically due to one person. And it's a gentleman named Sean Cannell, and I met him at a meetup in Las Vegas, and he basically, well, I'll tell you the short story. I saw him, and we just started talking like we've known each other forever, but I just do that sometimes. Hey, let's just start talking. So halfway through, he's like, I go, where did we meet before? He's like, we've never met before. And we found out that he's the guy that every time I search camera gear on YouTube, his face pops up. This guy, Sean, his face pops up and it's all over YouTube. You search for, you know, the new Canon camera gear or what to film YouTube videos with, all this stuff. Sean pops up. There he is. Look at his face all over this thing.
Face guy.
Oh, man. He's got the faces. So I meet him and he's like, what do you, you know, basically convinces me that why YouTube is important. Because... To me, YouTube and Vimeo kind of came out around the same time, and Vimeo was always, you know, higher quality, better comments, and that was just kind of the horse I went with, and the Vimeo community was so great, and Vimeo themselves reached out and, you know, invited me to some of their shows and to present and do all those kind of things, but I think, you know, the fact that anybody can now make a YouTube channel and that we're not on there is kind of an important part of where we're going as far as Grayscale Gorilla. So, you know, that might say for another story of like why exactly we're moving a lot of stuff to YouTube. But more importantly, if you're looking for camera gear, any info on this stuff, Sean's on top of it. And I wanted to make sure people knew about him because I think he's doing a good job on, you know, reviewing gear and showing you like some of the cheaper or less expensive ways to like get good lighting, you know, and get good video stuff. And he's really been instrumental in us stepping up our production value on Grayscale Gorilla. So I want to give him a shout out as well. But I'll never give a shout out just to buddies, only if they're helping the community too. So check out Sean's site. We'll put that in the notes as well. In fact, yeah,
we're going to put all these. This is the YouTube episode.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm gonna whip through a few more here that I think are must watches. There's this one called Primitive Technology, which there's a good chance people have seen that around. But like this guy, I think he takes vacations and he just goes into this section of wood somewhere and he starts from sticks and dirt and rocks and he makes houses and huts and kilns and slings and bows and. He just and there's no audio. There's audio, but he doesn't say a single word during the entire thing. You just see him build everything. Like it's just, I don't know. It's like watching an aquarium. Like it's just like, look at him do this. It's amazing. Wow. Super cool. This one's a little more heady. There's this guy, Sam Harris. He does a lot of writing. But he does a podcast, and he posts them all to YouTube. But what I love about him is he dives headfirst into controversial topics and tries to get the conversation going. So he talks about like the complications with Islam and race relations in the United States, and like the place of science in the world, and like and elaborate videos about politics, and he just dives in headfirst. And he also brings a lot of guests on the show to talk about like breaking cutting edge science stuff and concepts. The latest one was something about like this guy who lives the practical altruistic life, where it's like how much of your what percentage of your income should you give away to charity, and at what point, like even if you're trying to optimize, is it better to keep money to yourself so that you put yourself in a better situation so that you make more money so that you can now donate that money? And it's just like those kind of complicated questions. So he's really great for that stuff. Gotta throw a shout out to The Great War. The First World War started, you know, like 102 years ago. And what this channel does is every single week they do a video about this week 100 years ago in the First World War, the Great War. So I've been watching this for like 2 years, and you get to see the war unfold and countries join and this one get knocked out, and these battles happen in kind of in real time. So it's really fun to see that go along like that. Crash Course. These guys do free education. These are kind of like middle school, high school level classes they do online, but they're really entertaining. And there's a couple of them, kind of whatever topic you like, you could dive in.
I like the design on this one.
Yeah. They have a company that does really cute animations in between. But they have here's all their classes. They have a class on games, philosophy, physics, a couple literatures. Intellectual property, astronomy, they're kind of all over the place. But they started with history. So they did a U.S. history and a world history. And I just love those videos. I love history. And it kind of goes from like pre-civilization, like all the way through to modern day. And like, I don't know, they just cover it really well. And I thoroughly enjoy those videos. It gives you a nice little bit of well-roundedness for topics you might not know that much about. And then the last one I'll do, and I just have to give a shout out because I've probably spent more hours of my life watching these videos than any other, and that is Red Letter Media. They have a couple different little shows they do within it, but they mostly do movie reviews. But it all started with this character they came up with, Mr. Plinkett, and essentially he's like an evil psychopath guy who like traps people in his basement and tortures them, but he does like multiple hour long reviews of things, and he does a series on the prequels, the Star Wars prequels, and it's like 45 minutes long, an hour long breakdown of everything that's wrong with the movies. And but he's also like this character, so there's like this world they build around it. And then they have a different series where they watch. It's kind of like Mystery Science Theater. It has that vibe where they watch crappy old movies and then sit down and talk about them. And I have spent so many hours watching their videos. Like when I can't sleep, I'll turn one of their videos on and turn the volume way down so that like my brain isn't like actively running. I can just hear them talk about movies and then fall asleep. Like I've watched more of their material than anything else, and they're quite prolific. They make a lot of content. That's like 10 of the people I follow out of like, you know, 150.
Well, we got quite a list here.
Yes.
We're going to link them all up again on the show notes, which you can find at YouTube. You can find at our iTunes page, and also on the Grayscale Gorilla blog itself. So head on over. And also, if you're listening to this on iTunes, please give us a rating. Let's eat good or bad. We just give us a rating. You know, we'd love that. Would help us out. That'd help get the word out about this stuff. And also, if you're on YouTube and watching this and you have one of these channels that you watch that you think we should join, Chris is literally lining up.
That's what I'm asking.
Stuff to watch on the weekends. So drop it in the comments. We'll check it out. And we'd appreciate that as well. Well, guys, what a show. We got We got tons of YouTube stuff. Now I got to update mine.
I've been hitting subscribe as we've been going.
Yeah.
I've got a handful of new ones to check out. That one's a little
pretty cool. Well, anything else coming up that people should know about until next week? We have a tutorial coming out this week. We have the store, still working on the store. Little for those of you who stick around long enough to hear about the store again. That is still coming up soon, so get ready for our new site and our new store.
Yep.
That'll be a big week for us, but stay tuned for that. Look at this glass skateboard.
Here it goes.
Dude, they're really teasing it out.
Yeah, they're good. They put a pretty good show on. It's pretty much immediately shatters, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Yeah.
He's so scared.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I wouldn't do it.
I would. No, yeah, you want to keep that. Do it, do it. Oh, no.
And it's gone.
And it's gone.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you don't have to watch that channel anymore.
I'll have to watch this channel. Well, no, I got to subscribe now. And they have a Lego board, so I definitely have to go. So I'm going to click subscribe right now.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for stopping by. I'll see you next week for another, what is this show called?
I don't even know.
What do we call this thing?
Like, GrayscaleGorilla.com podcast?
Yeah. Yes. GrayscaleGorilla.com podcast.
GrayscaleGorilla.net.org.
No.
.com.
.gov.
.gov?
.gov.
No.
Oh, well.
That's not right.
Happy first debate night, everybody. I'm having a pizza party.
God. Yep.
That's, watch debate tonight.
Ooh, pizza party. Happy debate night. Happy fall. Have a wonderful week. Have a productive week. Pick that project. You know, I'm going to have a little Jerry Springer here. Take the project that you've been putting off. This doesn't have to be a Cinema 4D thing. I have the same thing that's been in my to-do list for the last probably 60 days that takes about 2 hours to do, that I know I have to do to be an adult and to be a human, and I always put it off and I always procrastinate, and I'm going to put it on my list to do today, right? Today. Don't do it tomorrow, because the reason it's not done is because you always push it off to tomorrow. And I have mine. So I encourage everybody out there to find that thing on their list, put it on today, take a dang break, and go get it done. Like, you know, I always like have outdated like license plates on my car and stuff like that. I just forget that stuff. I hate that stuff. But today, go be an adult, get it done. So you can go take the rest of the week and do all this fun stuff. A little note from me to you.
Nice.
That's mostly me talking to myself. All right. Thanks, folks.
Power of Velcro.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody. Woo!
Thanks for watching.